updating the live English Football League Cup at the moment. Liverpool 1-0 up over Arsenal. What have you made of the game so far from what you've caught, Mossy?
Yeah, Diogo Jota getting the go-ahead goal for Liverpool. And, of course, the winner of this game goes through to the final against Chelsea. Look, from what I've seen, there's been chances at both ends. We've only had half an eye on it, Ryan, as you know. Arsenal have had a couple of chances, a gilt-edged chance right in front towards the end of the first half. But, yeah, Liverpool look good for their lead.
Now, in the Queensland PGA Championship, the play will get underway this morning. Daniel Gale, Cameron John and also Anthony Quayle are equal leaders there, all at 6-under. Updating the American Express PGA Tournament in the US, where Jason Day, he is tied for 13th at the moment. He's 4-under through 15 holes. Brad Druitt, fellow Aussie, is 3-under through 12 holes. Graham McDowell is equal leader there with Lee Hodges and Patrick Cantlay. Those gentlemen all at 7-under par this morning. So we'll keep you updated on those live scores. But it's now time to talk football. And the Socceroos FIFA World Cup qualifiers start at home to Vietnam next Thursday. That's January the 27th in Melbourne. With an away to follow in Oman, that's just 5 days later. Wins in both of those matches would see things really in Group B get back in their favour, you'd have to say, and they'd definitely be putting pressure on Japan and current leaders Saudi Arabia. So to talk about their preparations and the expectations, it's great to be joined by Socceroos coach Graham Arnold. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very, very well. And obviously your good mate Phil Moss with me here this morning as well. The Socceroos, obviously, in the time of COVID, I'm sure as a man who likes to prepare meticulously, things are just a little bit different.
Yeah, look, there is their challenges. And obviously those challenges get thrown at us and have been thrown at us over the last 12 months with, we played 14 World Cup qualifiers. We played 12 away from home. And, it was a bit of an experience losing players down due to COVID, but also staff members along the way. But, I always have a high belief and high expectations of the players' mentality and commitment to the team, but also high expectations of the staff as well. And whatever challenge gets thrown at us, we will deal with.
Arnie, I know how much you love being on the pitch with your players, and thanks for joining us this morning. How do you? We all know players look forward to games, but going from club coaching into international, you've been there now 4 years. How do you feel as a coach going into a camp like this?
Yeah, look, I feel great. To be honest, Mossy, it's exciting, and it's. When you look back on those 4 years, you say, and I am a person that loves to be on the field. I love helping players and coaching. And, I've coached 24 games in the last 4 years. And obviously with the pandemic and having no games for quite a while was tough. But that's the reason I took the Olympic team. I wanted to be on the pitch more. I wanted to help the kids more. And so with that side of it, I got about another 14 games with the Olympic team. So, I go into this game, as I said, with a lot of excitement and just to see the Socceroos back on home soil down here in a sold-out stadium at Amy Park, where it's the game sold out within a couple of days. It just shows you how big the Socceroos brand is. And, of course, the boys are looking forward to getting back and playing and getting moving forward again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that decision to take on the Aussie Roos. I noticed in today's papers, and I'm not asking you to confirm or deny this, but Marco Tilio and Joel King are a couple of names from the A-League who I know were involved with the Aussie Roos and maybe up for selection in this squad. Was that one of the main reasons that you took the Aussie Roos, apart from getting more coaching for yourself, to really give these young kids some more exposure?
Yeah, look, hadn't qualified for 12 years for the Olympics, and I truly believe that the Olympic team is a Socceroos B team, and it's an under-23 team that, all the talent should be on the field and playing by them and being given the opportunity to play for the Socceroos. So the Olympic journey really created and helped create some depth. When I went to the 2018 World Cup, when I first took over, I knew that Mile Jednak, Tim Cahill, Mark Milligan. We're not going to make it to Qatar, and we're going to retire, plus some other players that we're not going to reach it. So it was important then was where I was going to get the depth from. So that's why I took on the Olympic team. And as I said, I'm maybe it's just me, but I just have this really huge belief in Australian kids. I think that, you know, they showed at the Olympics over, you know, by beating Argentina and shocking the world that they have the quality, they have the ability, but maybe they don't have the consistency. And the consistency comes from obviously getting a lot of game time and playing at their clubs here in Australia. And pretty much that wasn't happening before COVID, but that has happened of late. And the kids are really stepping up. And you really, you know, since the Olympics, you look at Riley McGree, he's just made a $5 million transfer to Middlesbrough. Denny Jonneau left Australia and is now playing in France. And we've got a great number of kids now, probably 7 or 8 from that Olympic team playing overseas. And here in Australia, those boys who were on that Olympic journey are doing very well in the A-League. So, as I said, I've got a lot of belief and trust in the kids, and I do believe they'll do well for us.
Yeah, now I know you announced the squad for these two games against Vietnam and Oman later today. I'm assuming there'll be some players who were unavailable through either injury or COVID. Are you happy with the makeup of the squad that you're going to announce later today and the condition of the players, the match minutes they're getting?
Well, that's it, Mossy. You know, it's obviously there's some players out that for certain different reasons around COVID. There's also some players that are out through injury. And some players that haven't kicked the ball for 2 to 3 months, whether that's in Europe, some A-League clubs here that played much less game time than others due to COVID and postponement of games. So one of the main things I looked at was with this squad for these games is match minutes and the players that are playing regular football over the last month, players that are getting match minutes and are fit and ready for, you know, 2 games in 5 days. And being available for this camp.
Graeme, we had the pleasure of speaking to Brian Gorgian, NBL coach, during the show this week, and you could make a case that he's one of the greatest coaches this country's ever seen. It was interesting talking to him just about how he balances coaching and real life and some of his philosophies. Just your evolution as a coach and a manager and what you look to as your touchstones for bettering yourself in that balance of coach and life.
Yeah, look, I think, Ryan, I think there's one thing I've learned through COVID and that is, and what I have improved on is probably man management skills. I feel more like less of a coach because I only get one training session with the players when they come in, especially with a lack of flights into Australia. But I do feel that I'm more of a player welfare officer now, where you've really got to reach out and communicate to the players much more than probably what you used to in the past. In the past, you just send a letter or an email, and that's happened for years, that the player is selected. But I think there's more to it these days, especially with, you know, we've got players all around the world, different countries, there's different rules in different countries on quarantining and all and self-isolation, all that stuff, that you you really have to reach out to the player and see how his family is as well and see if there's any issues on that side of it, as well as making sure that the player mentally himself is ready to come to play and show the commitment that we expect to play for Australia. So, you know, probably when I was at Clubland and I was more, it was more about routine. I wasn't as flexible as I am now in terms of, you know, having to do things different ways because, as I said, at club level, it was much more rigid. We did it my way or it was the highway. But now it's, we've got to make it work. And as I said, it's more about the communication side of things and the care factor and making sure that, first and foremost, the players are mentally right and then physically right. Technically, they have the quality, and tactically I get probably 10 minutes on the training pitch to work on any type of tactic. So if the brain's not clear, if the brain's not ready, then all those other things go out the window.
Well, I can speak from experience, Ryan. It might have been Arnie's way or the highway in clubland, but he still gave his staff plenty of responsibility, which is the sign of a good leader. What about the A-League, Arnie? You've obviously been watching the games. What have you made of the season so far? It's obviously been very stop-start with COVID, very frustrating for players and hard to hold coaches to account for results as well without the rhythm and routines that we like in football.
Yeah, look, I think, again, on the coaches' side of it, all the A-League coaches will come out probably after this learning a lot, because you just can't be rigid in your planning. You've got to be real flexible, and it changes day to day. I think, obviously, the A-League kicked off late due to COVID. It was a longer off-season than normal. But I truly believe that, the first few games, you could see the boys, there was ring rust. A lot of players weren't getting through the games, but it's improving week after week, and you can see the boys getting back to their normal quality and rhythm. So, there's some exciting young kids out there, some exciting players, and, there's some good games to watch. And, as I said, at the end of the day, the Australian kids a lot more are getting a go now, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and obviously, getting opportunities, as you mentioned before, with the Olympic team and their performance against Argentina, but also seeing young guys getting their chance in strong international competitions. Riley McGree recently made the move to Middlesbrough. Why is it important for players like him, do you think, to play in competitions like the Championship?
Well, Ron, I just, a lot of those kids, when I took them over with the Olympic team, you could tell, I felt, and you could see that they had the quality, but they didn't have the consistency, as I said, but they didn't have the belief in themselves. And, when you're maybe at a club and you're not playing, you in the old days, you used to say you got dropped. These days, I do believe that the players feel like they're getting rejected, and it's a mental, it hits them harder mentally than probably what it did in the old days. So it's about nurturing them through and explaining to them why they're not playing, or giving them a reason why they're not playing so they can work on it. So when we went to the Olympics and we went across there, you could see that when we did leave there, and it was disappointing the way we ended up finishing the Olympics, but you could see that the boys finally believed that they belonged, and they truly believed that they were good enough. When I heard them speaking after we lost to Spain, in the 82nd minute, Spain scored 1-0. They had some players. They had six players that made the semi-finals of the Euros just before. And you could hear our players saying, geez, we're as good as them. We can do this. And it's just the belief that the kids can make get in themselves. And then they go off on their own journey like they did years ago. And, they go to a level where they belong. They get better and better because they're playing. They're not playing 26 rounds a year in the A-League. They're playing 46 to 50 games a year in Europe, and they're playing against better players. And so, obviously, then their performances get better. They get physically stronger, mentally stronger, and they become better players.
We're talking to Socceroos head coach Graham Arnold this morning ahead of the two World Cup qualifiers coming up against Vietnam and Oman. Arnie, just before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, talking of going to another level and testing yourselves at higher levels, you've coached overseas. Obviously, we see Ange Postecoglou at Celtic at the moment, Kevin Muscat in Japan, Joe Montemurro in a women's game at Juventus. How important is that for Australian coaches, and how important is it for Australian coaches to have that ambition to go abroad?
Oh, look, I think, and put Michael Balkanis in there as well, Mossy in Greece,
of course, and that,
I think it's a bit like back in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, when Australian players first started going overseas to play overseas, and Ange is doing fantastic, and he's creating a pathway for Australian coaches. But, I do believe that Australian coaches are underrated. I sat one time with Jose Mourinho when Sydney FC, we played against Chelsea, and I sat down, had a coffee with him for a couple of hours, and he couldn't get his head around how we could coach with a salary cap. He's like, how do you do that? Mm. Because you only get $2.3 million to spend for 23 players. How can you do that? And then it's, I said to him, well, it's all about recruitment and finding good kids and developing. And he said, wow, that's amazing. And it was great to hear someone like that who gets an open checkbook in the Premier League that can, at the time, that could buy whoever he wants. And I think when you see and what Ange is doing, especially at Celtic, and bringing those Japanese players in that he's had the experience of coaching against in Japan, he's doing, and Ange is doing a fantastic job, and he knows the market so well, and the Japanese players are going over there and doing great for him, that, you know, I think with Australian coaches, we go through the system, we have a huge amount of passion, we have a great work ethic, that, we also, we cover a lot of details, and, I think that Australian coaches have got a great pathway in the future.
So, Graham, finally, obviously, as I mentioned at the top, next Thursday against Vietnam, then the following Wednesday, a trip to Oman. You really want to be putting pressure in Group B on Japan and Saudi Arabia. So do you see these two games as opportunity to really make a statement with this squad? What are your expectations?
Yes, Ryan. Look, my expectations are two wins. As I said before, the China result was disappointing. We've got everything in our own hands. And with what we've been through with this pandemic, where, as I said, we played 12 out of 14 games away from home, and still to today have everything in our own hands is crucial. So, people might look at it that we're not in a great position. Well, we are 1 point more than what we were, 4 years ago after six games. And as I said, we've got everything in our own hands. And what's happened in the past is in the past. That's gone. That's behind us. That's a life experience that we can talk about, many years to come. But what's in front of us is four games. And my expectations and my mentality is we go out there and we win all four games. And we win all four games, we're directly qualified.
Well, Arnie, your commitment and your passion to this Socceroos side is precisely why it's a sellout against Vietnam next Thursday. You've got Australians really behind this national team, and hopefully there's really bright things ahead, and you're going to get us to where we need to be. So best of luck next Thursday and also next Wednesday, but beyond with the Socceroos. Thanks, Graham, for joining us this morning.
Mate, thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks, Mossy.
Thanks, Scott.
Graham Arnold joining us. Now, Mossy, just an update on that English Football League match between Liverpool and Arsenal. Liverpool have gone even further ahead.
They have, as we see a pitch invader disrupt the game. But, Diogo Jota, again, great finish, super run. There was fears it was offside for Liverpool fans, but overruled and the goal was given. So Liverpool 2-0 up, with 6 minutes plus injury time to go for a spot in the EFL Cup final against Chelsea.
And great to talk to Graham Arnold. We've been a bit blessed, you and I, this week, haven't we, as we mentioned Brian Gorgian earlier. And Graham Arnold's a guy that I've always had tremendous admiration for as a coach. Just a real pleasure to deal with. And you can speak to him, obviously, more intimately at a behind-the-scenes level, as a coach as well. You can just hear him talk and you can understand why he seems to get the best out of his players.
Yeah, look, he's an incredible human being, first and foremost, and he genuinely cares about people. He divides opinion in the public arena, but those who know him intimately, he's a great friend, he's a great mentor. His coaching brain is remarkable. When you get to sit with him and discuss tactics or just discuss football over a beer or two, it's remarkable how deep his knowledge of the game goes tactically, technically, from the man management point of view. And I guess the most interesting thing for me is he signed me for Northern Spirit in 1998, which was his first coaching job. He was a player coach back in the old NSL. And so I've seen from day one of his coaching journey till now and how he's evolved as a coach, how he's changed his man management.
What's changed the most in your mind?
His communication. Back then he really still had a player's mentality rather than a coach's mentality. And that comes with age and experience, of course, and runs on the board and confidence in your coaching methodologies and things like that. But I think the biggest thing for me is how open-minded he's been to learn from others and pick the brains of others and listen, ask questions. And, Gus Hiddink, when he worked under him, always said to him and once to me, which I've held on to very dearly, is you've got two eyes, two ears and one mouth for a reason. observe, listen, and sometimes talk less, which will have more impact. And it was a great lesson.
Wow, that is really good advice. Yeah, great to talk to Graham Arnold this morning, and good luck to the Socceroos in those two World Cup qualifiers next Thursday against Vietnam and the following Wednesday against Oman. Well, imagine owning a horse that is eligible to race for $1 million in the newly announced Magic Millions race, which is called the Syndicate. Now, for just $200, you can own your share of Laurie Daly's six-horse racing team, with three of the six horses eligible for the big new race on the Gold Coast. Richard Friedman has declared Luna Rocks will be winning races. Blue Torpedo is close to her debut with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, while Kim War is impressed with her star Turn Gelding. Don't let Lozza hog the limelight. Join in the fun. Don't miss out. Simply go to trl.net to race for $1 million. Still to come this half hour on the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, we're going to be talking the BBL with Sydney Sixers batsman Daniel Hughes. We'll be previewing what's coming up on Racing HQ and much, much more. There is live sport happening this morning, and Liverpool nearing full time. They're 2-0 up over Arsenal at the moment. It's been a pretty comprehensive and dominant performance. I know the scoreline suggests that with Liverpool, but from what you've seen also, Mossy?
Yeah, I think they've had the better chances. Arsenal did have a gilt-edged chance before half-time, but Liverpool are good for that 2-0 lead. This will take them now, 90th minute, so a few minutes of injury. Actually, we're into the last 30 seconds of injury time. So Liverpool through to the final against Chelsea, another chance for Jurgen Klopp to get his hands on a trophy, even though the EFL Cup, the Carabao Cup, as it's called, certainly isn't top priority in the Premier for the Premier League clubs. But once you get this deep into it, it's a trophy up for grabs.
Yeah, and with a lot of COVID postponements, I'm sure people are just happy to be watching football at the moment.
And players are happy to be playing, and coaches are happy to be coaching.
Indeed. There's live golf this morning as well with the American Express tournament in La Quinta in California. The leader there, Lee Hodges, at the moment at 8-under through 15. The Aussies, Jason Day, is 5-under through 16. And Brett Druitt, I think I might have mistakenly pronounced Brad earlier. Brett Druitt is currently 4-under through 14 as well. The two Aussies in the field there. Now,
former Long Reef member as well.
Yes,
my golf club.
Well, that's one of our people through on the text line said that reminded me that I mistakenly called him Brad. So sorry about that.
But he said
he's a Long Reef golf member.
That's right. And Long Reef Golf Club president Steve Twigg is an avid listener of this show. Absolutely loves Big Sports Breakfast. So he'll be listening this morning.
It's got to be one of the most beautiful golf clubs in Sydney, doesn't it, Long Reef?
Magnificent. And the ground staff there, the job they do on the fairways and the greens is unbelievable. You've got water on all three sides of the course. It's God's country. It's just beautiful.
Gee, well, after that plug, if you don't get a discount in your green fees moving forward, I'll be very surprised, Mossy. Very well done. Yes, cha-ching, cha-ching. Other results also. Australia, the girls defeated England last night by 9 wickets in the first T20 match of the Women's Ashes at Adelaide Oval. Good to see them going great guns so far. In the tennis yesterday, Chris O'Connell, Alex de Minaur and the Aussie men's, they won through. Madison Inglis also won through. Unfortunately, Nick Kyrgios and Sam Stosur bowed out of the Australian Open, and looking forward to Ash Barty coming up a little bit later this evening. So, plenty to look forward to in the Australian Open. I know we won't be on next week, Mossy, because the boys will return, but I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on the tennis, and hopefully we'll see a few of those Aussies in the second week of this Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we all always love to see Aussies go deep into the Australian Open, of course, but given where it all started with the Djokovic saga and everything like that and COVID and everything, you know, the scenes that we're seeing, the tennis that we're seeing, it's a credit to the players, the fans, the organisers. Craig Tilley, he's come in for plenty of criticism over the Djokovic saga, but at the end of the day, he's the CEO and his job is to put on a great tournament for the players and the fans, and so far, so good.
Well, we mightn't just be watching the tennis, we'll be watching the Big Bash as well, because the finals they start tonight. Yes, tonight the Big Bash finals start with the Strikers taking on the Hurricanes, that one at the MCG. And the Sydney Sixers, well, they've got a chance to create history and become the first Big Bash league side in history to win three consecutive championships. So they've secured second spot on the ladder after the completion of the preliminary round. So they are set to play Perth in the qualifier. That's Saturday at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. So the winner of that match proceeds straight through to the grand final. So if it's the Sixers, they'll be playing the grand final at the SCG. Now, Daniel Hughes was key in getting the Sixers into that second spot. He was brilliant the other night against Brisbane. He scored 59 of 45 balls. He hit seven boundaries in that as well, setting up that victory on Wednesday night. And he joins us this morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Very well. That was a man of the match performance from you on Wednesday. Very timely. The boys are in the right sort of form at the right time.
Yeah, that's right. We're sort of hitting our straps at the right part of the year, and it was nice to be out in the middle there and contribute to a win. I felt like a bit of a passenger early doors at the start of the season with Moses and Philippi playing brilliantly and not getting too much time in the middle. So it was nice to go out there and contribute.
Yeah, congratulations on that innings, Daniel. How important is it to have a player like Nathan Lyon back in the squad? What does he for the finals? What does he do to the dressing room and out on the pitch?
For the dressing room, I think he's just a bit of a pest. He just has a bit of a laugh, a bit of a larrikin. So he keeps everyone pretty relaxed, which is great. But he's also a phenomenal off-spin bowler. So he's key for us. He's going to play a big role on Saturday night. And yeah, he just keeps the boys relaxed, which we are all pretty relaxed group. But just to have him having a laugh and keeping everyone pretty chilled around the change room, it's nice to have him around.
Just in that match the other night, there's reporting around of, I guess, the to and fro between Sydney Thunder bowler Mohammad Hussain and also Moses Enriquez, your skipper. Haznain's actually been stood down for his action since then, so he's not going to be playing in the BBL anymore. But you're actually out on the crease with Enriquez during all of that. And there's been calls from commentary, I think Brad Hodge was one of them that said Enriquez was out of line. I mean, what was your take on it?
It was just heat of the moment thing. I didn't actually hear what Moses said till after the game and read the comments. But if he's been cited for throwing and he's going under investigation, then I don't think there's any room for throwing in our game. So if that's what he's doing, then he's going to have to undergo testing and get his action sorted. But, yeah, I didn't hear it out in the middle. But, yeah, obviously, Moses just said something to him. But it is what it is. And now he's got to go through the appropriate things to get his action sorted.
Mm. Daniel, as an athlete, managing the COVID situation, how have you found it? How have you stayed focused and kept yourself in tip-top shape?
Mate, it's been exhausting, really. Yeah. I think the last week, I think we've been in four different states. We've been flying here, there and everywhere. So we've been getting in at like midnight and 1:30 in the morning and driving to the hotels. So it's been exhausting. But I think one thing this group does really well is they sort of take time away from the game. We all play golf and we're all pretty relaxed characters. So, but once we train and once we play, we've all got one goal to go there and try and win a game of cricket, however we do that. It's been exhausting, but the guys are focused. Now it's finals time, and we've got to go up another gear to get the job done and hopefully get three in a row.
Mm. Daniel, you had one spot in your squad for an international player, and it looked as though there was potential that Steve Smith could have been that player. He made an application to join the Sixers. That's subsequently been knocked back by Cricket Australia, with the CEOs basically saying that, you know, he wasn't part of the pools, even though the one-day internationals against New Zealand have been scrapped. What was the team doing at that time? Because was it true that with the reports where Smith actually joined you guys and was looking to play?
Well, yeah, he wanted to play. He would have been he's actually flown down here to commentate on the game, so he's actually here. He obviously can't be around the team because of COVID situations. He's sort of been away from us, but he's actually here. He wanted to play, so I think it's ridiculous that he's not allowed to play. He's one of the best players in the world, and why wouldn't you want him playing in the BBL? So, but it didn't get over the line, and I mean, we've got we've got 18 pretty good players in this squad to get the job done. But, yeah, pretty disappointing that they wouldn't allow him to play, even considering he's here as well.
Now, I'm sure you would love to replace that microphone in his hand with a bat.
Or even a ball, the way he bowled in that test at the SCG.
Absolutely.
Anything. He can do anything for us.
Yeah. Daniel, you've lost both games against Perth this season. Going into the finals, is that a help or a hindrance from a motivational point of view, or is it finals, so it's a different competition, different mindset?
I think it helps, really. I think it just gives us a nothing-to-lose mindset, really, especially with that second chance as well in the 1v2 game, and not having beat them this year, we've got nothing to lose, really. So go out there with that mindset and play pretty freely and see what can happen.
They are a side. Look, and I know the Sixers are as well, but Perth really probably is the side that's just stacked with that international quality. Who are the players that you really have to shut down or perform well against, do you think?
You'd say first and foremost that would be Mitch Marsh. He's been incredible this tournament. However, since the World Cup, he's getting 60 off 30 balls on us every time he walks out the bat. So he's obviously a key wicket. But guys at the top of the order as well, Curtis Patterson, Josh Inglis, they got Jai Richardson. The list just goes on. They got a lot of quality players. So we definitely have to be on our game. We have to play a pretty complete game to beat them. So we're just driving into training now. We're just driving into the MCG now to go to train and chat about all this. So hopefully we can come up with a few plans and get the job done on Saturday night.
Are you talking about the history that's at stake within the group, three consecutive championships as a driver?
We haven't sort of spoken about it too much, but it's certainly there. It's certainly something that we might motivate ourselves today and over the next couple of days that it is a chance to go three in a row and make history. So it might be something we use to motivate ourselves, but that old cliche, just one game at a time, see how we go. We've got a great rivalry against this club, so it's always an exciting contest. And, yeah, hopefully what we bring on Saturday night will be good enough.
Well, it'll be a big step if you can get over the scorches at Marvel Stadium. That match Saturday night at 7:15, it gets underway. Because if you do win, you're straight into the final on your home turf at the SCG, yeah. I'm sure. That's what we all want. So best of luck Saturday night and beyond. Thanks for joining us this morning, Daniel.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
All right. Now, we've got the flashing light on the Big Sports Breakfast Multi because it closes at 9 a.m. So you've only got about 8 minutes, I think it's fair to say, to place your bets on the Big Sports Breakfast Multi, because we have continued it through the summer edition with Uncle Laurie, who's been helping us out with the multi. We just missed out last week. We were very unlucky. We just needed a top two finish from Jamea, who was unlucky in the Magic Millions, but we got the first leg up with Sentimental. This week, the Big Sports Breakfast Multi, Uncle Laurie has gone Randwick Race 9, number 5, Yee Yee, to finish in the top four. And Adam Pengelly has gone Randwick Race 5, number 4, Canyonero, to finish in the top four. So those odds are $9. $9 for the Big Sports Breakfast Multi. So the only way that you can do that is to go to sports and then go to today's offers on the Tab app. And you'll see the Big Sports Breakfast Multi there. So you've only got until 9 o'clock if you want to get a piece of that. Other tips today, Adam Pengelly, he was tipping his best bet, race 1, number 4, Silent Impact, tomorrow at Randwick. And his value bet was race 8, number 2. And I think it's wrapped into one, the best bet and value bet from Brad Davidson tomorrow. He was tipping race 10, number 1, Bring the Ransom at $10 for Bjorn Baker. And we actually had Bjorn Baker on the program earlier in the week and was giving that horse a nice push. So a nice little great minds think alike with that one with Brad Davidson today. But Mossy, we've got you in the studio, and we normally find a few tips with the A-League. So it would be remiss of me not to try and get a few bets on for the A-League now that I've got you here in studio. So,
well, we've got a football feast.
We have, don't we,
Ryan? We've got obviously the Matildas kick off their Asian Cup tonight.
Yes, yes,
against Indonesia. That's at 9 o'clock tonight. We've got the A-League men's, we've got the A-League women's, we've got the Socceroos in action next week. Spoke to Graham Arnold, of course, this morning. So much football to wrap our heads around. But I'm going to go with the A-League men's this weekend. Tonight it kicks off with Wellington hosting Western United down there in Wollongong. Sydney FC take on Perth Glory. Negative news, I guess, for the Perth Glory players in an extension for the border closures with WA. So let's see how that affects the Perth players mentally. We don't know how long that's going to go on for. And Central Coast Mariners hosting Melbourne City. That'll be a cracker up there at Central Coast Stadium on Sunday. And then, of course, the round closes off with Brisbane Roar hosting Adelaide on Sunday night as well. So I've got a little multi there. Western United into Sydney FC. Into a draw between Central Coast and Melbourne City.
Okay, so putting all of those in, Sydney FC to win, Western United to win, Central Coast and Melbourne City a draw, $13.76, Mossy.
Well, it'll be popular if that gets up.
That is pretty juicy.
Yeah, I think the Mariners, you know, they'll be riding high. Melbourne City are a quality side and one of the title favourites, but Central Coast will be riding high after making their first FFA Cup final during the week with that victory away to Sydney FC.
Yep.
And they've been playing some good football under Nick Montgomery. So I think there'll be a stern test up there in Gosford for Melbourne City.
And looking forward to Tuesday night as well. Melbourne City taking on Sydney FC, backing up pretty shortly. That should be an interesting one as well.
Yeah, it will be. Definitely Sydney FC need to get a move on. Stevie Corriker will know that if they're to seriously challenge for the title this year. I think they've got the players to do it. I think COVID has impacted. Sydney FC have got, you know, a fair few players over the age of 30, and they've all had COVID, so they're just finding their rhythm again. But I think they'll get the win over Perth on Saturday night and start to really creep up on Melbourne City. But that's a big game Tuesday night.
Okay, so just recapping that multi there from Mossy, he's gone Western United over Wellington to win, Sydney FC over Perth to win, and the draw between Central Coast Melbourne City, and those odds are $13.76 with the tab at the moment. Looking forward to a great day's racing, not just tomorrow at Randwick, but also tonight. And if you want winners, you just have to tune into Racing HQ. That's where you find them. And that's where we find Dave Stanley.
Fingers crossed, Ryan. I like it. That's what we need to be doing. We've got a good punters panel today. Good morning to you two gentlemen. Great stuff over the last couple of weeks too, Ryan and Mossy. Just like a glove, mate. Fit straight in. Bang. Quick backup too with the A-League.
This man, Davey Stanley, gave me the funniest moment in radio I've ever been a part
of. Do tell.
Well, he had a dentist's appointment one afternoon and then had to come in, and I think you were hosting, Davey, at the time, or coming in as a
No,
guest.
I was just doing the tab odds, and I was speaking to everybody, including my partner, who I wasn't actually going to go to work that day, and everyone just kept laughing at me and saying, no, you'll be right, and yeah, the joke was on me, that's for sure.
He couldn't talk because he had no feeling in his mouth.
I couldn't speak. Actually, I'm booked in next Monday for the dentist, so, and I don't really like going to the dentist.
What time's your appointment? 2:30?
After work, yeah. 2:30, not bad. Not bad.
The bigger question is, are you going to do radio the next morning, or have you learned from your lessons?
No, I'm locked in. So it could be box office listening on Tuesday morning. Hey, Canterbury tonight, couple of nice horses going around. I'm going to be working tonight with Richard Callender for Sky Thoroughbred Central, so looking forward to that. And today on the punters panel, we've got Luke Marlow, who will be co-hosting with me this morning, Darren Flindell, and also Jock Gologli. So three very intelligent punters, and looking forward to their thoughts on the Randwick meeting. Of course, Carrington Stakes Day there tomorrow at Randwick. It looked dodgy, the weather earlier in the week, with a lot of rain around, but then we've had that, you know, strong winds throughout the week, and even some blue sky over here in the east at the moment. So I think we'll be racing on a pretty good racing surface there tomorrow. Just from a track update for Canterbury tonight, it is a soft 5 at the moment. The Penno is 5.15, the rail out 3. So that's what racing surface you've got tonight there at Canterbury, gents.
Now, you did a great job. I did tune in last week, Dave, and I thought you did a great job out on track. You ride at home, obviously. It's seamless from what you do in the mornings. But I'm sure you've done the form for Canterbury tonight. Is there any little something, anything that you're looking at in particular that you might want to have a little flutter on?
There is two horses that I'm really keen to see, and they're both from the John O'Shea stable. Firstly, in race number 2, there's a horse called Ruinart who returns, a 3-year-old hallowed crown filly out of that very nice race mare, Tempt Me Not, and we've only ever seen her twice. The last time we saw her was in a maiden at Wyong, and on debut at Canterbury, where there was a bit of a spruik around for her. But probably the most interesting runner is in race three, Jal Lai. This is a filly by Sebring that John trains. When I spoke to him on Thursday, so yesterday morning, while those trials were on at Warwick Farm, he said, look, Canterbury's not the ideal place for her to be, you know, kick-starting her preparation. She's probably going to need a bigger track like Randwick, but he believes she's Saturday and stakes grade. So keep an eye on Jal Lai. He's sort of talking maybe third, fourth up, big track in one of those, you know, sort of three-year-old fillies races, so stakes races over the carnival, and we'll be seeing those colour salutes. So put her in your black book, Ryan.
Yeah, okay. And we actually had Hugh Bowman and Regan Bayliss on the show during the week. They gave Evening Bride and also Miss Baltimore, their respective rides, a good push, but they both identified as Jal Lai as certainly the one to beat. So we'll keep an eye on that. Have a good show today, Dave, Racing HQ, and indeed a great show tonight with the racing coverage at Canterbury.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ryan, and thanks, Mossy. And, yeah, punters, stick around. Punters panel, not too far away.
Dave, right up after the news. But that's where we sign off for the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition. It's been an absolute pleasure. My thanks to Stuart Clark, Adam Pengelly, also Matt Burke, and, of course, Jamie Rogers, who's been with us. And, Mossy, you brought it home very strong the last few days, so it's been an absolute privilege to sit alongside you, and I really appreciate everything that you've done for the Big Sports Breakfast with me over the summer.
Thank you, mate. I've really enjoyed it, as always, and you've done a magnificent job too. I know we're pumping each other up here, but you really have, Ryan, so it's been great to welcome you into the team, mate, and you can hold your head very, very high, but you're a real pro. Really enjoyed every minute of it, as I do every segment I have with this show. Great team behind the scenes as well, with Jono, Nico, and all the guys. So we've got a great team going. Great dressing room.
Yep, we're only as good as the guys behind the scenes, and we've got some absolute rippers here at Sky Sports Radio with Nick and Jono. We couldn't do the show without them. So a big thanks to those guys. And thank you to you as well, the listeners, for being part of the open line number and also sending in your text messages. They're certainly valued. We love you being part of the show. And make sure that you're tuning in on Monday, because the boys are back. The team is back. We've got Jared Middleton, Michael Clark, and Laurie Daly, of course, with Jamie back on Monday. So make sure you're tuning in. But on behalf of the team, this is Ryan Phelan signing off and Mossy signing off. And we'll hopefully see you again soon, or speak to you again soon, on the Big Sports Breakfast.